Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله إن شاء الله after the remaining dua درس القرآن will be imparted in the English language all brothers are requested to participate السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم والذين كفروا فتعسا لهم وأضل أعمالهم ذلك بأنهم كرهوا ما أنزل الله فأحبط أعمالهم. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ دَمَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ أَمْثَالُهَا. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who have إيمان أو believers. In tansurullah, if you will assist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yansurkum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall assist you. Wayuthabbit aqdamakum, and Allah ta'ala will keep your feet firm. Walladhina kafaru, and those who commit kufr, those who disbelieve, fata'asal lahum, for them is destruction, wa adalla a'malahum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall destroy their actions. Dhalika bi annahum karihu ma anzal Allah. This is because they dislike what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, because of which he lays their deeds to waste. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, have they not travelled on earth? فَيَنْذُرُوا, and seen, كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, what was the end result of those before them? دَمَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, Allah Ta'ala annihilated, completely destroyed them. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ أَمْثَالُهَا, and for the kafirin is the same fate. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, this is because Allah Ta'ala is the mawla of the believers. وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ, and because the kafirun, they have no Mawla. We continue with the commentary of Surah Muhammad. We have reached verse number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, O those who have iman. In tansurullah, if you will assist Allah Ta'ala, yansurkum, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall assist you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. So it is not possible for anyone to assist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is not in need of anyone's assistance. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions that if you were to assist Allah ta'ala, what this means is that if you were to assist the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, or if you were to assist Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how can a person assist the deen of Allah, or how can a person assist Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These two things, they are the same. Assisting Allah or assisting the deen of Allah means that you are assisting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you are assisting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this means that you are assisting the deen of Allah ta'ala. And how do we assist the deen of Allah? We learn the deen. Whatever we learn, we practice upon. And whatever we practice upon, we also propagate and teach others. We spread the message. Because this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission in life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his entire time in propagating the message of deen. So, in tansurullah, if you assist Allah, then Allah ta'ala will assist you. This is just like when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once addressed his young cousin brother, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. They were both cousins, but there was a great gap in between their age, approximately 50 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, he was 63 years old. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was only 13 years of age. But even in this young, tender age, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he gained great benefit from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can imagine that he was only 13 years old when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world. So as a 13-year-old, how much did he benefit from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That he has the title of Ra'isul Mufassirin, the leading commentator of the glorious Quran. Hibrul Ummah, the great alim of this Ummah. Tarjamanul Quran, the one who can explain and translate the glorious Quran. And when we study his life, we find that one was that he adopted the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because this is very important. If a person wants the deen to come into his life, he will have to spend time in the company of those individuals who have deen in them. So he adopted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's company. And together with adopting the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he behaved in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in such a way that he earned the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the manner in which a person can earn the du'as of the pious, of the ulama, of the elders, of one's parents, there are two things we have to do. One is display adab, respect. And number two is khidmah, by serving them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, through adab and through khidmah, he earned the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as adab was concerned, on one occasion when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was spending the night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to perform the tahajjud salah. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma also joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this tahajjud salah. So during the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma forward, so both of them are standing together in one line. Because when two people perform salah, the imam stands in front and the musalli, the follower, will stand a couple of steps behind the imam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulled him forward, so both of them are standing together in line. But Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, after he was pulled forward, he went and he took two steps back again. So after the namaz, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, that why is it that when I moved you forward, did you take those steps back? So upon this, the young Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma replied, that it is not befitting for a young child like me to stand in line with the great individual that you are. You are the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. This was his adab and respect. That how can I stand in line with the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala? So adab and respect is lacking greatly in the times that we live in. You can say that adab is absent. There is no adab. There is no respect. And it's because adab and respect is lacking, this is why we see that we are not progressing. In Arabic, there is a saying that "Malla adaba lahu la ilma lahu." If a person doesn't have adab, he will never be able to gain ilm. You cannot acquire ilm until you do not display adab. Adab and respect. So adab and respect, there has to be adab and respect for the classroom. There has to be adab and respect for your fellow classmates. There has to be adab and respect for the kitabs, for the books, for the stationery. There has to be adab and respect for the ustad and the teacher. Anything which is connected to the ilm which you are trying to acquire, this requires adab and respect. And this is a different topic. We can mention so many incidents which show the length that our pious elders went to in order to ensure that they had adab and respect so that they could acquire this ilm. So when Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma displayed this adab and this respect, this adab and respect was a means of him gaining the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Oh Allah, grant him the knowledge of the Qur'an. Allahumma faqtihu fi al-deen. Oh Allah, grant him the deep understanding of deen. Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. Oh Allah, grant him wisdom. So this was one incident. And the second incident was when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to relieve himself. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma tugged along, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma placed some water where he knew that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finishes relieving himself, when he will come out, then he will be able to find this water. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the water, he asked that who placed this water here? So he was informed that it was Abdullah ibn Abbas. So even on that occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made these du'as for him. So because of this adab and because of this khidmah, he gained the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became Ra'isul Mufassirin, the leading commentator of the Quran. So anyway, on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was traveling with this Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, this young cousin brother of his, whilst traveling, he gave him some advice. And the first advice was, Ihfadillaha yahfadka. Safeguard the commands of Allah and Allah Ta'ala will safeguard you. So over there also, how can a person safeguard Allah? How can a person protect Allah? It's not possible for you and I to protect and safeguard Allah Ta'ala. So the meaning of this is that safeguard and protect the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning practice upon the deen. Carry out the do's and refrain from the don'ts. If you will do this, then yahfazka, Allah Ta'ala will safeguard and protect you. So over here also in Surah Muhammad, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that, O believers, in tansurullah, if you will assist Allah, in other words, if you will assist the deen of Allah, if you will serve the deen of Allah, if you will learn the deen, practice upon the deen, and thereafter propagate this deen. If you will serve this deen in whatever capacity you are able to, then what will be the result? The result will be yansurkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And when Allah ta'ala will assist and help you, then wayuthabbit aqdamakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep your feet firm. Allah Ta'ala will keep your feet firm. What this means is that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you strength. So whatever action you are about to carry out, whatever service you are about to render, you will have the assistance of Allah Ta'ala. And when you will have the assistance of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will keep your feet firm. You will be able to complete that mission or that task. You will not slip. You will not give up. You will not become despondent. You will remain firm. Where will you gain this firm strength from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you will see that many people, they will begin something, but after a few days, after a few weeks, they will leave it. So look, they don't have the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. Allah ta'ala is not keeping them firm. They will give up after some time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you and Allah ta'ala will keep you firm. When He will keep you firm, you will be able to accomplish that task. Number two, Allah ta'ala will keep you firm means He will keep you firm on sirat-e-mustaqim, on the straight path. We, from the time we become balig until we breathe our last, we are trying to tread a path which is leading to Jannah. But on that path, we have shaitan. And shaitan has made this promise that, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I am going to sit on sirat mustaqim. Shaitan already told Allah Ta'ala that I will sit on sirat mustaqim. And when your servants will try to tread this path, which is leading them to Jannah, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will come from the right, I will come from the left, I will come from in front, I will come from behind. And I will try my best to divert them from Sirat Mustaqim, so that they tread another path and that path leads them to Jahannam. So those people who assist the deen of Allah, they serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will keep their feet firm on sirat-e-mustaqim, meaning that now it will become easy for them to do those deeds which will lead them to Jannah and Paradise. And it will become easy for them to save themselves from those deeds which takes a person to Jahannam. This is the second meaning. Third meaning of وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make these people so firm now that even when they are on the battlefield and they are fighting against the enemy, And they can see that my life could go at any moment. They won't flee from the battlefield. They won't turn their faces away. No, وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala will keep your feet firm on the battlefield. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will send down assistance from the heavens. Allah Ta'ala will send down the angels. Now your heart will not feel fearful. You won't become despondent. Rather, you'll have full courage to remain on the battlefield, and with full strength and vigor, you will be able to fight against the enemy. وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ Number four, whenever there is a need to have a debate with a disbeliever, Allah Ta'ala will keep you firm. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give you the ability to say the correct things. There will be no need for media training. You will not need to be media trained. That how do I answer? No, Allah Ta'ala will inspire you. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give you the ability to think correct, that do I answer here or do I not answer here? If I do answer, how should I answer? When do I need to stick to the script? Divine inspiration from Allah Ta'ala. وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ Number five, whenever the enemy tries to persecute you, tries to torture you, tries to make your life hard for you, tries to take you away from Islam, by torturing you, وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala will keep your feet firm and you will remain steadfast on the deen. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is being dragged in the hot Arabian sun. And he is being told that this punishment will only stop, this torturing will only stop if you renounce the faith. But, وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala kept his feet firm on the deen. And all he would say is, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. This is وَيْثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ And number six, even in the Akhirahdan, so Allah Ta'ala will keep you firm in this world, but even in the hereafter, when you are on Pul Sirat, that bridge which is أَدَقُّ مِنَ الشَّأْرِ which is more thinner than a strand of hair, وَأَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْفِ and which is more sharper than a blade, but that bridge, Allah Ta'ala will keep your feet firm and you will be able to cross it. And when you cross it, then on the other side, Jannah will be awaiting you. So those who assist the deen of Allah, who serve the deen, then the result is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will assist them and Allah Ta'ala will keep their feet firm. So from here, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is mentioning the difference between the believers and the disbelievers. The mu'minun and the kafirun. Because previously, in this surah, it was mentioned that there will be two types of people. Some who will believe and some who will disbelieve. Right at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, أَلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ That Allah Ta'ala will destroy the actions of those who commit kufr. And وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ As for those who have iman and then they do righteous deeds. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned regarding the disbelievers and Allah Ta'ala mentioned regarding the believers. So even here, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is mentioning a promise for the believers and thereafter for the disbelievers, a warning is being mentioned. That ذَلِكَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Those who disbelieve, فَتَأْسَلْ لَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them وَأَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ And Allah ta'ala will destroy their actions. For the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they will have the assistance of Allah. And for the disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that for them is destruction. For them is failure. So whenever there will be a battle between believers and disbelievers, the end result will be that the believers will be successful and the disbelievers will be failures. The believers will be victorious and the disbelievers will be defeated.
This will always be the end result. So if you ever see a butthole, and in that butthole you think to yourself, that in this battle between the believers and the disbelievers seem to be the victorious ones. And the believers, it seems as though they have been defeated. Then this is because this battle has not come to an end yet. In a bout between two wrestlers or two boxers, if one is winning after 6 rounds, if one is winning after 5 rounds, nobody says that he is victorious. And nobody says this one has been defeated. You have to wait till the final round. In a game of football, you don't look at the result after half-time. That at half-time, the score is 5-0, so the game is over. No, there's still 45 minutes remaining. The result will be determined after the final whistle. So even if you see a battle between believers and disbelievers, and you think to yourself that the believers have been defeated here and the disbelievers have gained victory. No, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And if you see a certain battle which has come to an end, the battle has come to an end and you see that the disbelievers have gained victory and the believers have been defeated, then you still are not realizing that this is also not the final round. The final round will be just before Qiyamah. And before Qiyamah, Isa alayhi salatu was salam and the Muslim army will defeat Dajjal and the disbelievers. This is the final round. So all the other battles which are taking place, these are all rounds before the final round. And the result will be determined in the final round. And when the believers and the disbelievers will go into the Akhirah, the believers will remain in Jannah forever and ever. So for the believers, there is eternal success. And the disbelievers will remain in Jahannam forever and ever. So for the disbelievers, there is eternal destruction. So even if the disbelievers were to win and be victorious in some small battle in this world, that you cannot classify as victory when for eternity they are going to be in Jahannam in the hereafter. And for the believers, if they were to gain defeat in some small battle in this world, that is not in reality defeat, because they are going to be in Jannah forever and ever in the Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this difference between the believers and the disbelievers. And for the disbelievers, the warning is that first of all, for them is destruction. And number two, Allah ta'ala will destroy the actions. What this means is that number one, Allah ta'ala will not even give them the ability to carry out any good deeds. If they are given the ability to carry out a good deed, then they will not be able to carry out this good deed with ikhlas, with sincerity. And any good deed which is void of sincerity is not accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And number three, even if they were to carry out a good deed for Allah, because they don't have iman, then this good deed is not going to benefit them in the slightest in the hereafter. They are still going to go into Jahannam. So their good deeds are going to be completely destroyed. They are not going to benefit them in the slightest. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions the reason. That why is this? So Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ This is because كَرِهُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ They dislike what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala revealed. فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the deeds. They dislike what Allah ta'ala revealed. This has two meanings. One meaning of this is that they dislike tawheed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the subject of tawheed, that Allah ta'ala is one. You must believe in only one Allah. They dislike this. What did they used to say? They used to say, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا Has the Qur'an or has Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned all of our gods into one god? Until now we were believing that there are 360 idols, if not more. And this man is saying that you have to believe that there is only one Allah. Inna hadha la shay'un ujab. This is something very strange. In hadha illa ikhtilaq. He is just making this up. This is not true. How can you believe that there is only one Allah? So look, they didn't like Tawheed. When Allah Ta'ala revealed with regards to believing in one Allah, they disliked this. And when a person dislikes Tawheed, then the result is that he likes shirk and he becomes a mushrik. He ascribes partners with Allah. And regarding this, Allah Ta'ala says, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. If you were to commit shirk, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will destroy your good deeds. So this is one reason why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will destroy the deeds of the kuffar, and Allah Ta'ala will destroy the kuffar and the disbelievers, because they disliked shirk. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ إِشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. In another place Allah Ta'ala says that when Tawheed is mentioned, when this point is mentioned that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is one, then those people who do not believe in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they feel disgust. They don't even want to hear somebody talking about Tawheed and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. This is how much they despise this topic. And the second meaning of Ma Anzalallah, the second meaning of that they dislike what Allah Ta'ala revealed, is that they dislike the entire Quran and the entire Sharia. They are allergic to Sharia law. If you talk about Sharia law, then they have nothing good to say about it. They don't even want to listen. They spread propaganda against it, not realizing that the best way for humans to live in this world is by Sharia law. Because this is not a man-made law. This is a law made by Allah Ta'ala, who is our creator, who knows what is best for human beings in this world. But they despise this. So they don't like the Quran, the teachings of the Quran, and they don't like the Sharia. And thereafter Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions that this warning, it isn't for the people of the past. This warning is for the people present at this time. So to open up their eyes, Allah Ta'ala says that أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Have they not traveled on earth? فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And seen what was the end result of those before them. When they travel to Sham for their business trips, do they not see that how we have destroyed the people of Ad and the people of Thamud? When they pass by the Dead Sea, do they not see how we destroyed the people of Lut alayhi salam? So they travel in the world, and when they travel in the world, they see the ruins of these people. دَمَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala annihilated. He completely destroyed them. Completely destroyed them. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. It was as if they were hollow trunks of palm trees. And in another place Allah Ta'ala says that كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. It was as if nobody lived there. If you were to go there now and you were to look, it would seem as though there were no people living in this place, whereas an entire nation was living there. So Allah Ta'ala completely annihilated them and completely destroyed them. This is how Allah Ta'ala dealt with them. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala now addresses the mushrikeen and the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarramah and says to them, walil kafirina amthaluha, that for the kafirin there will be a similar fate. Now over here, there is something to understand. It's academic, but I will try and simplify it. Walil kafirina amthaluha. For the kafirin, for the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, amthaluha. Allah Ta'ala here could have said mithluha. If Allah Ta'ala said mithluha, this would have meant that just as Allah Ta'ala destroyed them for the kafirin of Makkatul Mukarrama, there is also a similar punishment. Allah Ta'ala will also destroy them in a similar manner. But Allah Ta'ala did not say mithluha. Allah Ta'ala said amthaluha. What this means is that for the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, the punishment will be far more severe in comparison to the punishments the previous nations were given by Allah Ta'ala. Now this raises a question, that why? Why the difference between the two? Why is Allah Ta'ala going to punish the disbelievers of this ummah more in comparison to the disbelievers of the previous nations? This is the question. Now the answer. The answer to the question is that as far as the previous nations are concerned, they rejected prophets. And this nation has rejected Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the prophets. So their crime was not as great as the crime of this ummah. They rejected Tawrat, they rejected Zabur, they rejected Injil. But you are rejecting Quran, which is Kalamullah. So you have rejected the greatest prophet and you have rejected the greatest book, which means your punishment should also be greater. Now this will raise another question for those who are awake. And if you're not awake, then wake up. Because it's easier for me to teach when someone's awake. Second question. The second question is that the Quran is saying that this nation, the kafirin of Makkatul Mukarrama, their punishment will be more severe in comparison to the punishment which was given to the previous nations. But when we look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the previous nations and how Allah ta'ala dealt with the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, what do we see? The previous nations, Allah ta'ala annihilated them. He completely destroyed them. And the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, Battle of Badr took place. Battle of Badr took place. From the 1,000 soldiers, 70 were killed. And 70 were taken as prisoners of war. So it doesn't seem as though this punishment is more severe in comparison to the punishment of the previous nations. Over there, the entire nation was destroyed. Over here, only 70 have been killed, 70 have been taken prisoners of war, and everybody else is free. So how is this more severe? So the answer to this, no. To determine whether a punishment is more severe or not, you don't look at the punishment. You look at how much pain is being inflicted. You have two people here. One is, mashallah, very strong, very powerful. Goes to the gym every day. And I was to punch him 10 times. And he just stands there, he can't feel anything. And you have a small child, very weak, very frail. And you give him only one punch and he falls down and collapses. The punishment-wise, this one's more severe and this one's less severe. But as far as the pain inflicted is concerned, here there was no pain and over here, there was great pain. So which punishment is more? You determine by how much pain was inflicted. As far as the previous nations were concerned, Allah Ta'ala completely destroyed them. But instantly the azab came down, the whole nation was destroyed, azab is finished. There's no pain. And over here, only 70 were killed. 70 were taken as prisoners of war. But it was a gradual process in which there was much pain which was being inflicted. The kuffar, the disbelievers. In the Battle of Badr, they are seeing that we are 1,000, we are well equipped, and they are only 313. But look at their courage, they have come to fight us. This already caused them pain. That this is a means of shame for us. 1,000 verses 313. Then the likes of Umayyah bin Khalaf, who used to torture Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is on the battlefield, and Bilal radiallahu anhu, this slave, who was a slave once upon a time, who the disbelievers would look down upon, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is running after Umayyah bin Khalaf. Imagine the disgrace of Umayyah bin Khalaf must be feeling. Because even on the battlefield, their wish and their desire was that someone great should kill me. If I do die, I don't want to die at the hands of some slave or some low person. I want to die at the hands of another leader. So this caused them great pain also, that look at the people we are fighting. The likes of Bilal is after us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that 70 individuals were killed. From them, 30 to 35 were the leaders. So this caused them great pain. That 30 to 35 of our great leaders have been killed. And from amongst them, the greatest leader, Abu Jahl. And even Abu Jahl, it wasn't that instantly the sword hit him and he died. No. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that it wasn't some great warrior who attacked Abu Jahl. Young boys attacked Abu Jahl. Young boys. He fell to the ground. Now he is breathing. His final moments. But Allah ta'ala made it such that he doesn't die instantly. Now he can see the whole scene of Badr before him. So he is there in his final moments, lying down, looking around, seeing that the Muslims have gained victory. And we, the non-Muslims, have been defeated. Our great, great leaders have died. This is all causing him great inconvenience and great pain. And then he was desiring that if only some great leader from the Muslims, a great warrior from the Muslim army comes and kills me. But what happened? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Mujahideen, the Muslim army, that does anybody know what has happened to Abu Jahl? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who from a worldly point of view had no rank and status, as far as deen and akhirah is concerned, he is a great sahabi and a great companion. Great sahabi. Once Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was climbing up a tree. So as he was climbing up a tree, his lower garment lifted up and the Sahaba could see his shins. Now he was extremely skinny, very thin. So when they saw his thin shins, they began to smile. This made them laugh, that look how skinny Ibn Mas'ud is. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards the Sahaba and he said that you are smiling because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is a very skinny man. La rijla Abdullah ibn Mas'ud fil mizan athqalu min Uhud. On the day of Qiyamah, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu will stand on the scale to be weighed, he will weigh more than the Mount Uhud. Because these are the good deeds he has carried out. But from a worldly point of view, he had no rank, he had no status. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, does anybody know what has happened to Abu Jahl? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, let me go and see. So he went out in search and he found Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl was killed. The final blow was given by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that sahabi regarding whom the ummah know that his tawadu and his humbleness had reached its peak. Extremely humble. And Abu Jahl, we know, is extremely arrogant. The Fir'aun of this ummah. He was given the title Fir'aun hadhihi al-ummah, the Pharaoh and the Fir'aun of this ummah. So on one side you have the Imam of humbleness, and on the other side you have the Imam of arrogance. So when there was this clash between humbleness and arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in the Battle of Badr that humbleness will always be victorious and arrogance will always be defeated. So All this pain which was inflicted upon the disbelievers, when you look at it from this angle, then you realize that the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarrawah was far more severe in comparison to how he punished the previous nations. This is the answer to this question. And walil kafirina amthaluha also has another tafsir. And that tafsir is that for the disbelievers, Allah Ta'ala has reserved great, great punishments in the akhirah also. So in this world, they will be punished greatly, but in the hereafter, there will be great punishments waiting for them in Jahannam. So walil kafirina amthaluha. Now the ayah ends, sorry, the ruku ends with one very amazing ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ, that why is this? This difference between that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the believers success and He has promised the disbelievers failure. Allah ta'ala has promised the believers, even in this world, you will gain happiness, you will gain satisfaction, you will gain contentment of the heart. And the disbelievers, it is impossible for them to gain contentment in this world. It is impossible for them to gain satisfaction. It is impossible for them to succeed. This great difference between mu'minun and kafirun. The believers, they will always be successful, and the disbelievers, they will always be failures. Why is this? Why is there this difference? So the reason for this difference is that ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mawla of the believers, وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ, and there is no mawla for the disbelievers. As far as this word mawla is concerned, this word mawla, there are several meanings for this word mawla. One meaning of mawla is master. So when you have a master and a slave, the master is called mawla in Arabic. Likewise, when a slave is freed, so after the slave is freed, in Arabic, you can call this person mawla now also, a freed slave. This is why there is a famous Sahabi by the name of Salim Mawla Abu Huzaifa. The Salim, the freed slave of Abu Huzaifa. So look, Mawla can also be used for a freed slave. It can be used for master also. It can be used for a freed slave also. A third meaning of Mawla is a leader. Sardar, our leader. This is why we call the ulama, when we address the ulama, we say Mawlana. Mawlana, our leader. And even today in places like Syria, in Egypt, in Jordan, if they see an alim, then they address him and they say, Ya Mawlana, O our Mawla, O our leader. The reason for mentioning this is that there is a group of people whose belief is that you can only use the word Mawla for Allah Ta'ala. So in their presence, if you were to call an alim Mawlana, they will say this is shirk. They are saying, how can you call a human Mawlana when Mawla is Allah? Their belief is that you can only use the word Mawla for Allah Ta'ala. And what is our belief? No. Mawla has more meanings. You can say Mawla to a person also, because Mawla also means our leader. During the occasion of the Battle of Jamal, Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he called his son, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu. I will just give you one or two proofs that you can't call another person Mawla also. Especially those who go on to college, universities, they will find such people who will say to them that you cannot call an alim Mawlana. So alhamdulillah, we have everything here. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu. He calls Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu and he says to him that tomorrow is the battle and I feel as though I am going to be martyred tomorrow in the battle. I am going to be martyred. My greatest fear is the deaths which I am leaving behind. Now it's a lengthy narration mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. Maybe on some occasion we will go through that hadith because there are many lessons which can be derived from there. But today I'm sticking to this lesson. I just want to make one point. My greatest fear is my debts. Why he had incurred debts, the reasons are mentioned there. It's not that he had indulged in this worldly life. He was a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were reasons. Which I said, inshallah, we will discuss that hadith. Anyway, he said, my greatest fear are my debts. When somebody comes to you and asks you for the money, and you have to offset that debt, then at that time, you should seek assistance from my Mawla. These are the words he used. So his son, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asked him, that, oh father, who do you mean by Mawla? When you are saying to me that when somebody comes to me and asks for the money, then I have to refer to your Mawla and ask assistance from your Mawla. Who is your Mawla? So on that, Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu replied that Allah. What do we learn from here? That even Abdullah bin Zubair, when he was told that refer to my Mawla, he was unsure that what does Mawla mean here? If Mawla only meant Allah, he would not have asked this question. But he asked this question because Mawla could have meant Allah, it could have meant somebody else also. This is one proof. And if this is too difficult for you, then a very simple one. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the latter stages of his life, somebody came and asked him a question regarding deen. Now when our elders reach a certain stage in their life when they know that now I could very soon leave this world, then in front of the public, they make sure that the public know that after my demise, this is the person you need to go to. Sometimes you will ask them a question and they will not give you the answer. Rather, they will say that go and ask such and such a Mawlana. Go and ask such and such an Imam. Go and ask him, my student. This is telling you that after my demise, this is who you need to go to now. This is why when Hakim ul-Ummat Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, in the latter stages of his life, if somebody asked him a question, then he would look that from my khulafa, who is present here? And he would say to the person, go and ask him. So this was endorsement also that after my demise, he is the imam. He is the person you need to ask. And there was consolation for that person also, that after our shaykh, after our imam passes away, there is somebody still to take his seat. This was their foresightedness. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, when somebody came to ask him a question, what did he say to this person? He said to him, Salu Mawlana al-Hasan. Go and ask Mawlana Hasan. Referring to Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. So if Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who is a sahabi, if he is saying to this person, go and ask Mawlana Hasan, then who are you and I to say that you cannot say to an alim Mawlana? When a sahabi used to call another person Mawlana. So Mawlana can be used and is used for a person also, that he is our master. He is our leader. Mawlana, our leader. This is another meaning of Mawlana. And a fourth meaning of Mawlana is, or Mawla, is our helper. Helper, assistant. A supporter. And Mawla means friend also. So over here, this is the meaning. The meaning over here is that ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That why is there this vast difference between how the believers gain victory and the disbelievers always fail? Why is there this vast difference? Because the believers, their Mawla is their helper and their protector and the one, their friend. Who is he? Ji? Who is the protector of the believers? Allah. Who is the friend of the believers? Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah is the Mawla of the believers. وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ. And as far as the kafirin are concerned, it's not that they have another Mawla, but he's some creation. No, لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. They have no Mawla whatsoever. So the believers, their Mawla is Allah, the greatest. And the kafirin, it's not that they have some small Mawla, they don't have a Mawla at all. Now when this is the case, obviously the believers will always be victorious and the disbelievers will always be defeated. This is the reason that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in this ayah. Now over here, for those who have the entire Quran in their mind, a question will arise in their minds. So for them, if we have any here, that in one place Allah Ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding the disbelievers. From here we can understand that look at where the minds of the Mufassirin go. Our mind doesn't even go towards the question, forget the answer. Allah Ta'ala mentions in one place, ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. That then the disbelievers will be returned towards their Mawla, who is Allah Ta'ala. In this ayah, Allah Ta'ala is saying, for the kafirin, there is no Mawla. And in that ayah, Allah Ta'ala is saying, the kafirin will be returned to their Mawla. Have you understood the question? So the answer. The answer is that I already mentioned that the word Mawla has different meanings. So over there, when Allah Ta'ala says that they will be returned towards their Mawla, the kafirin will be returned towards their Mawla. The word Mawla over there means owner. So Allah Ta'ala is the owner of the kafirin also, Allah Ta'ala is the owner of the mu'mineen also. So they will be returned towards their Mawla, meaning their owner. And here Allah Ta'ala is saying that the kafirin have no Mawla, here Mawla means a friend. Here, Mawla means someone who assists you. So the kafirin have no Mawla. Understand? Okay. During the Battle of Uhud, we are ending now. During the Battle of Uhud, initially, the Muslims gained victory. Then a certain mistake took place. The archers who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed that whether the battle is over or not, you must remain here. Anyway, there's a whole detail to that. Thereafter, the disbelievers were defeated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the condition of the Muslim army, he took the entire army towards a certain cave or valley near the Mount Uhud. Those who have analyzed the battles which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in, there were 27 expeditions during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the 27 expeditions, 8 or 9 resulted in war or battle. So sometimes they would go out but there would be no war. There would be no need. This was also a decision which you have to make, that do we fight, do we not fight? Those who have analyzed all the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the expeditions, those who are masters in this field, they have come to this conclusion that there was not a single moment in any of the expeditions in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the wrong decision. Not a single moment. At every moment he made the right decision, that this is what we should do at this particular moment in time. Otherwise, during the battle, imagine that during the battle, on the spur of the moment, you have to make a decision. Shall we do this or shall we do that? You are bound to make mistakes in any task, even if the task is so small. During the task, you will make a decision and later on you will regret it. You think that, no, I should have done it like this, not like that. You put something in your house and then after a bit you think, no, the bulb, I should have put it on that side, not on this side. So imagine in the middle of a battle. But not once in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have understood battle, they have analyzed and they have come to this conclusion. That he always made the correct decision and the best decision. In fact, those who partake in battles even now, where do they get their strategies from? They study the wars which took place during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they use his skills and his strategies to form their particular armies. So anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the Sahaba into this valley or this cave in the Mount Uhud. And he told them, just sit here. Now the disbelievers, they are waiting. They are waiting that if they come out, we can completely destroy the Muslim army. But they waited for some time, and after waiting for some time, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, who at that time was not a Muslim, he was the commander of the disbelievers. He said to them that, let's leave. The battle is over. So they begin to leave. They begin to leave, and halfway through, Abu Sufyan begins to regret. Look, he made the wrong decision. He begins to regret. And he thinks to himself that, what have I done? We should have just stayed there. How long was the Muslim army going to remain in that cave? Sooner or later, they would have had to come out. And once they would have come out, we could have completely destroyed the Muslim army. He completely regretted his decision. But Allah Ta'ala was controlling. In tansurullah yansurkum. You assist Allah Ta'ala's deen, Allah Ta'ala will assist you. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala placed in the mind of Abu Sufyan that let's leave from here. The whole non-Muslim army leaves. Now he's regretting. Now when he's regretting, the thought crosses his mind that let's return back and let's finish them off. But then Allah Ta'ala puts another thought in his mind. That what if we go there and the plan backfires? We're going there to destroy them. What if they stand up and they destroy us? So he instilled fear in their hearts. And they didn't go back. So at that time, before leaving, Abu Sufyan, he made an announcement and he said, Afikum Muhammad? Is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still alive amongst you? Because he doesn't know who's alive and who's died. The whole Muslim army is hiding. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to the Sahaba, remain silent. Nobody answers. So complete silence on this side. So Abu Sufyan and the disbelievers become very happy that we've destroyed the leader. Then he asks a second question. That is Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Quhafa, is he alive? Again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates and remain silent. Nobody answers. They become even more happy. Is Umar the son of Ibn al-Khattab? Umar Ibn al-Khattab, is he alive? Again, there is silence. So the disbelievers became extremely happy that we have destroyed the spine of their army. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, the three most influential individuals have been killed. He became extremely happy. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu could not hold back. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew that until when do we need to remain silent? He wasn't disobeying the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udh billah. Now he knew that now we can speak. So Umar radiallahu anhu spoke out and he said that, O the enemy of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also alive. Abu Bakr is also alive. And I, Umar, is also alive. And we are here to destroy you. So when Abu Sufyan heard this answer, he became very despondent that a few seconds ago, I thought that we've killed them. But they are still alive. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on that occasion, what did he say? He said, U'lu Hubal. U'lu Hubal. Hubal, this is the name of one of the idols. So like we say, Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar. So U'lu Hubal, that may there be height for Hubal. It was like a slogan that he said, U'lu Hubal, that may Hubal rise. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards the Sahaba and said to them, that will you not answer? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said, how shall we answer? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, answer them by saying, Allahu a'la wa ajal. You are saying, u'lu hubal. We say, Allahu a'la wa ajal. Allah is the most high and he is the most sacred. So from that side, Abu Sufyan said, Lana uzza wa la uzza lakum. That we have uzza, another idol. We have uzza, you don't have uzza. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, will you not answer? Umar radiallahu anhu said, how shall we answer? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, answer them by saying, Allahu maulana wa la maula lakum. Allah is our maula and you have no maula. So on that occasion also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba to use these words. So, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, in tansurullah, if you were to assist Allah Ta'ala's deen, you practice the deen, you understand the deen, you learn the deen, and you propagate the deen, then whose assistance will you have? You will have the assistance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And at all times, we should practice upon the deen and remember that we have Allah with us. Our Mawla is Allah. Our helper is Allah. Our friend is Allah. So when we have Allah Ta'ala with us at all times, then nobody can do anything to us. The main thing is you remain on the deen, so you have Allah with you. Yes, if you leave the deen, if you stop practicing the deen, now you don't have Allah's assistance with you. So you make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to practice upon this and to continue to learn the deen, to practice the deen, and to propagate the deen, and serve the deen in whatever form we are able to, so that we have the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us at all times. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون
الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، صراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.